We have this magazine for any of you who like to take up to know what's going on in other Calvary Chapel across America as well as around the world. Please pick them up. How many, Pam, where are you? How many we have? 80. So there's plenty to go around. So please come pick them up. Yep. And we have a few things to talk about before we get into the study. October 20th is our second year anniversary. The guy's been very gracious to us for the last 2 years. And to celebrate that, we are going to have a church picnic after the service. So if you can join us, that'll be great. If you brought something, that's we'll eat yours. If you haven't, we'll still share with you. How many of you guys don't have this thing that we gave it to you last week? You don't have it? Would you keep your hands up, please? Keep your hands up. Victor, way up there, too. Okay. Joe, down here. And here, in the front. When you get this, some of you guys know this, there is a comparison chart between President Bush and Senator Kerry. I'm going to ask you to go out and vote. Tuesday, I know it can be here. Some of you think that I don't want to, you know, it takes time to go out and vote. And please take time. It's your voice. You need to express what you're thinking about. One candidate is so liberal, another candidate is conservative. And you decide what is right in the sight of God. You vote. You must vote. Okay? See this? I voted already. Second thing we need to talk about is a couple weeks ago, a group of people from the Rio Rico and Tuba came up and they asked me to consider if we can send somebody out or me come down to their area and start a Bible study and eventually hoping to have the church down there. So we prayed about it and I asked our board members to pray about it, and we felt that God is leading us to take a step of faith to start a Bible study out there, Rio Rico and Tubac area. It's going to be the outreach of Calvary Chapel of Sarita. Would you, the folks from the Rio Rico and Tubac area, stand up for me, please? Welcome to the Calvary Chapel of Sarita. Thank you. You may be seated. These fine folks asked us to started of outreach fellowship. That doesn't mean I'm going to spend less time with you guys. It's not going to be any, you're not going to see any difference. We'll just do the extra, I'm going to do the extra work for that. And please pray for this fellowship, please. And we're going to start from this Wednesday. That means I need to find out how to get to your place. So I need to talk to you after service is over. And see how God's going to lead this fellowship. Let's see what God's going to do and for His glory. And I talked about election. Oh, Joe Gallagher, would you come on down, please? And Kenan, you to come, you too. Since you're moving up to Grand Junction, Colorado. Yeah. So we don't have to see his ugly face. It's okay. He picks on me all the time, so it's a good time to pick on him back. Joe's been a great friend, and he's been a great brother, and his son, Kenan. Altogether, it has been a blessing to a lot of people, and especially to me. So let's ask God's hands up on their move, okay? Heavenly Father, we lift up Joe and Kenan, and we are asking you to go before them, go with them. Let them plug into the local fellowship up there and let them be the one to bless the people and be used by you for your glory. And strengthen him, let him have a wisdom that comes from you to understand your way. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Willie, come on down. Come on down. Don't fall, don't fall. He is, yeah, you are in, come on in. He is one of our deacons. He is a good, good teacher, and he did a New Believers class, so we're going to talk about the New Believers class ministry. When will the New Believers class start?
We'll be starting up again on the 11th of the 11th, November the 11th. It's going to be on a Thursday, and we'll be meeting at the River of Life Christian Fellowship. We'll start at 6 o'clock and run to 7 o'clock just before Jumo's service. That'll keep you from being too long-winded, and I'll get it over and keep it short.
All right. Who is need to be in the class, the New Believers class?
Yeah, the New Believers class. Exactly what Calvary Chapel believes, and so you'll get to learn what you need to about the Bible as a new believer, or how Calvary Chapel Fellowship believes.
Okay, you mentioned that 1 hour period for the each session. How many sessions going to be?
We're going to have 12 sessions, so it'll run for 12 weeks, and we'll probably skip the Thanksgiving session. But other than that, we'll just run straight through for 12 straight weeks. We have a booklet that you can take home, and it has about 10 lessons in each, 10 questions in each of the booklets, so you can have those to keep.
Very good. Okay, thank you much. Here. As I said, he is a fantastic teacher. You'll enjoy his teaching. So if you don't have that firm foundation of Christianity, this might be a great chance for you to come in at 6 o'clock on Wednesday, Thursday night and at the River of Life Church, and then you can have that New Believers class and the midweek Bible study. For those who don't have a Bible, would you raise your hand, please? If you came here without Bible, would you raise your hand? Keep your hands up. Okay, for those, when you get the Bible, would you open it up to chapter 12 of Revelation? Chapter 12, Revelation. Do we still have that chart, Revelation chart? Okay, for those who don't have a Revelation chart, would you keep your hands up? I know we give out a lot of things. It's a freebie, so take as much as you can. Okay, we are going to use the Revelation chart for now. Let's start. If there is any portion in the Bible that would confuse people because it's not in sequence, and the Western mind like to think everything is chronological order, everything should be in sequence. However, somehow this Bible is written by the Middle Eastern people, mostly Jewish people, exception of two. Dr. Luke, a portion of it written is by the King Nebuchadnezzar. So those two are the foreigners, Gentiles. Other than that, they're all written by Hebrew people. They are Middle Eastern people, let me rephrase. Middle Eastern people do not think the way American people would think. They tend to think the way it just flows. So, it's not chronological order. If you try to read chapter 12, you will have a confusion because it's not in chronological order. You would think that probably this is almost the end of the first half of tribulation. However, the portion starts with going way back to the Jesus time. So, you have to think about that with the chart. That's one of the main reasons why I developed this chart. Another thing to make this matter worse is that there's a lot of symbolism mentioned in this chapter. Let's start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we open our heart to receive your word. You speak to us about the spiritual warfare and why you give us this opportunity to learn about you and learn about our enemy, Satan. give us strength and courage to face the challenge in daily life, and we are asking you to manifest yourself in our life that we may bring glory to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 12, please. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. The being with the child, she cried out in labor, in pain to give birth. I believe the answer to the question of the identity of this woman can be found throughout the Bible. It is Israel. In context, the church is known as the bride of Jesus Christ. And Isaiah and Hosea throughout the New Old Testament identified Israel as Jehovah's wife. Now, let's be careful on that thing. Some people take that as a literal, and that means God is married to Israel. That's the figure of speech. Theologically, the answer to the questions that we find and some of the mind-boggling questions can be found with the cross-reference from the Bible. The best way, as I said before, the best way to interpret the Bible is what? Using what? Bible. So the best way to do it is using cross-references. We find this identity of woman in 37 chapters of Genesis. Joseph had a dream. He had the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to him. And from that Joseph, and through Joseph, the whole country, the 12 tribes has been saved, and of course that 12 tribe consists to Israel. So it is important for us to understand that kind of thing. And this Israel's birth, one who will rule all generations, all the earth and universe with righteousness and with iron scepter. Guess who that is? Jesus Christ. The woman has been often used in representation as a religious system in the book of Revelation. Remember, Church of Thyatira in chapter 2 of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 20, it says about the Jezebel is known as the false religion, false teaching. And there's another one we find is great harlot that will be mentioned in chapter 17 of Revelation. Is another one is a great false religion. And in chapter 19, we find the bride is the bride is the church of Jesus Christ, and that we will find great banquet and great wedding ceremony. By the way, Roman Catholic claim that this is the Virgin Mary, and they claim to be this is the Queen of the Heaven. And also Mary Baker Eddy, who is the founder of a Christian Science, also claimed that she was this woman. They are plain wrong, both of them. Now, let's go to verse 3. Now, we'll find Israel and the Savior and the Satan showing up in this portion. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 diadems. You might want to put the word crowns next to the word diadems. On his head, his tail drew a third of stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth and to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all the nations with an iron rod of iron, and her child was cut up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, and where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1260 days. On the line, 1260 days, please. Now we find a bunch of symbols here. Dragon and 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 diadems, 3rd of stars of heaven, a male child, it goes on. What are these symbols? And we're going to explain that one at a time. Throughout the remainder of Revelation, we find this dragon is referred to Satan, and especially verse 9, it explains it by itself. In Old Testament also, we find Isaiah 27 and Isaiah 51 talks about it. Child we mentioned here, verse 5, is about Jesus Christ. How do we know? it is obvious, and rather, it talks about his birth and destiny and ascension. Sign of fiery dragons is interpreted in verse 9, we will find, and Satan. Now, it first appeared in Scripture, chapter 3 of Genesis. So let's go to chapter 3 of Genesis. Am I going too fast? No? Yes? Chapter 3, verse 8:15, please. The sin is at the Garden of Eden. And right after Adam and Eve took the forbidden fruit they are not supposed to take, and this is what God is speaking to the serpent. And I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman. Now, this woman, is it Eve or is it Israel? In this case, it's Israel. And between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. As soon as a child was, this child is, if you notice, is a capital C. As I said, this is Jesus Christ. As soon as Jesus is born, Satan is ready to destroy him. Throughout the Old Testament history, we find Satan was doing his best to destroy the lineage of Jesus Christ. And it came to the point, there is a second king, we find it came down to one child, one person is alive. And he almost succeeded. However, God prevailed, and his lineage is going through, went through. He did everything. Dragon did Satan did everything to destroy. And not only that, in chapter 2 of Matthew, guess whom he used? King Herod to destroy the entire the male children was born in Jerusalem. Remember that? And not only that happened, also medieval time there was a crusade. Under the name of a crusade, under the name of spreading the gospel, what did they do? They went out to kill Jews. Because the medieval crusade soldiers thought that because Jewish people killed Jesus Christ, so they are kind of revenging. That's a lousy concept. However, that's what they had. Is that the end of the persecution against the Jew? No, that's not the only time. There's more. How about Adolf Hitler during the World War II? And how about the Ku Klux Klan, KKK, against the Jewish people? Under the name of cleansing, racial cleansing, they said that they tried to destroy the black people, but what they were really after was the Jewish people. How about the white supremacists? Somehow the Caucasian people think that they are better race than other people, so they think that they should cleanse ethnic difference, and they tried to kill the Jewish people too. It doesn't stop there. If you notice, world foreign policy is getting worse and worse against the Jewish people. Guess who is the flagship of all that? American media, like CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC. If you listen to their broadcast, they are all against Jewish people. The suicide bombing that happens by the Palestinian people or the Arab people against Jewish people should be called suicide bombing and homicide bombing, not suicide bombing. They do not talk about the things done by the Palestinian people or the Arab people against Jewish people, but they would always talk about retaliation by Jewish people. You have to understand, Jewish people does not take garbage from anyone. American would. But Jewish people go after those people and eliminate their souls. So to them, it's a retaliation instead of fighting back, counterattack. I'm going to go into a side story. Let me put it this way. This is the fact. And at the same time, this is my personal opinion. This is not the policy of Calvary Chapel of Sarita. My personal opinion, very clearly, if John Kerry goes into the White House, guess which nation is going to be most pleased? Arab nations. Palestine. This is known fact. Who are they? They're the ones who support terrorists, Al-Qaeda. Why are they hoping this John Kerry to go into the White House? Because the policy against Palestine or against the Arab nation will be loosened up by John Kerry. So you go out, vote according to your conscience, according to what God says. I'm not going to tell you who to vote. Dragon with a 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 diadems. This is talking about Satan's brilliance and his power and his dominions over the countries he's been controlling. And he is known as God of all ages, God of the earth. Let's go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, please. Chapter 4, verse 4. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded? Are you there yet? Okay. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of the Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Satan has a power to be on this earth, and he is the God of this ages. I asked you on the line 1,260 days. Remember, the Jewish calendar is 30 days per month. That means 360 days per year. 1,260 days is equivalent to 3 years and 3.5 years, which is consistent with the 3.5 years, the latter part of the tribulation. So from right before the abomination of desolation, it will go all the way to almost end of the second half of tribulation. This is consisting with the 70 weeks of Daniel, which means 7-year tribulation. Verse 5, we read, and let's go back to this Revelation, chapter 12, verse 5. And verse 6, we find in between those two verses, we find a 2,000 years difference. We are in that, I do firmly believe that we are at the edge, end of the time, end of ages. And we will go to verse 7 of chapter 12. For war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail. They means that Satan and his angels did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Underline the whole thing, please. It is very important. So the great dragon was cast out, and underline great dragon, and underline serpent of all, and called the devil, underline devil, and the Satan, underline that too, please, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying that in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and power of his Christ have come. Underline next word, please. The accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down, and overcame, and by the blood of the Lamb. That's number one. Number two is by the word of their testimonies, and they did not love their lives to the death. Underline that too, please. You have a chart? Chronological chart? Okay. If you noticed, I put chapter 12, verse 3 and 4, and 7 through 12 in the front portion. And there's a little asterisk. Some Bible scholars put in the middle part of the Revelation, and almost end of the tribulation. This is how I started. And if you notice, that we changed a few times. Guess what? I'm changing again. And why you may say, why did you do it that way? Because I wasn't thinking, okay? If you don't like it, sue me. The reason why I thought this way is because I will explain to you. In my opinion, some people, as the other people believe, that there won't be any access for the devil to go into the heaven because he's pure evil. God would not allow the evil to go into the heaven. However, by reading this portion, chapter 12, verse 10, he was accuser of brethren. Listen carefully, please. Our God is an omniscient God. He knows all things. However, devil is not omniscient. Let me put it this way. God does not have a counterpart. Devil is not counterpart of God. In Hollywood movie, of course, the devil has a power against God. He doesn't. He's a created being, and God is creator. So if God chooses to squash the devil, he could do that with a word. Devil's counterpart is Michael, the archangel that we find here. Devil is the brother of, accuser of brethren. So he was accusing us and you day and night in front of God. Now, does he have access to the third heaven mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 2? Chapter 2? No, I don't know if he has power or not. However, what I'm saying is he had an access to heaven, from what I'm understanding correctly. That's why I'm going to move that portion of the chronological order back to way in the back of here. So don't worry about it. Don't try to make a note, because we'll give you a brand new one, as I'm going to give you the second portion of the chronological chart. Michael, the archangel, his name Michael means, if you have a name Michael, it's a very good name. Who is like God? However, according to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 14, Satan, who was a former Lucifer and was also archangel, looked at himself, "I will lift myself like Most High." Can you tell the difference? Who is like God? And Michael the archangel said he's worshiping him. Same time, the Lucifer is saying, "I will be like him." That's the egocentric attitude toward God. Verse 8 shows us that the battle between these good angels and the demonic angels happened during the mid portion of the tribulation. And it's denying access to heaven once and for all. And they are all cast down to earth. Can you imagine these egocentric demons have to remain on earth and cannot go have access to heaven again? That means they're really ticked. Verse 9, let's go back there, verse 9. Okay, this great dragon cast out a serpent and all the devil and the Satan, and who deceived the whole world, and he was cast to the earth, and his angel were cast with him. How many of you guys know the word diablo? It's a Spanish word, also it's a Spanish word for the Satan. Original word coming from the diablos. And it also coming from the verb diablo. And it means defaming and slandering. He's living up to his name. He's the accuser of a brethren. There's four different faults that mentioned in the Bible, throughout the Bible, about the devil. First one is mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14. He was a glorified being, but however, because he lifted himself to God, he fell from glorified to profane. Second thing we find in chapter 12, we hear with his angels, one third of angels went with Satan, and they cast down, and access was restricted. And in chapter 20, we find him falling into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years during the millennium time. And then again, chapter 20, after he come out from the bottomless pit, he will make a coup against God one more time with a bunch of deceived people, and he will be thrown into lake of fire once and for all. Now, what happened in heaven occurs in heaven in on this earth day and night? Listen carefully, please. Day in, day out, you've been accused and you've been swayed by these demons. When you do something wrong, like I do, when you sin against God, like I do, then devil will condemn you. You don't deserve God's blessing, he whispered to you. And he condemned you, saying, God will not bless you for it. Because you just sin against God. He knows when we sin against God. And He kicked the sand in our face. Listen carefully, please. Condemnation comes from devil. However, conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. Condemnation pushes you away from God. Conviction draws us to God. Condemnation is self-centered and makes us to stay away from God, and also never measuring up to God's standard, in our opinion, and also give us hopelessness. However, conviction from the Holy Spirit gives us the hope and forgiveness, and He reminds us to move on. Don't dwell in it. And bring glory to the Father in heaven. Let's go back one more time. Condemnation does not comes from God. So if you've been condemned, don't listen to Him. That's the devil's whisper into your heart. I'm not saying you are possessed by demons. If anybody tells you Christian can be demon-possessed, tell them to go take a hike, okay? This is a bad, bad theology. Does it mean the Holy? Because if you're born again Christian like me, Holy Spirit resides in your heart, correct? Holy Spirit will not bunk with the demons in your heart. He does not have this duplex in your heart. One side is the Holy Spirit, the other side is the demons. And coming out into the hallway and say hi to each other. They don't do that kind of thing. Either you're for God, you're against God. Christian, born-again Christian, cannot be demon-possessed. They can be demon-oppressed. Okay? So don't ever swayed by the demon possession of the born-again Christian. There's a three ways to fight against the demon's accusation. First one, I asked you to underline and put the numbers one, is by the blood of the Lamb. Blood of Jesus Christ overcome the sin we commit against God. Then the accusation. The accusation means nothing from devil. If the truth is known, our sin is far worse than what devil's accusation. When he comes with accusation against me to God, all I have to say is, you're right. But there's more. There's more sins that you don't know about. Because you cannot read my mind. However, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed that sin. Past, present, and future sin. So don't dwell on it. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1. By the way, just for your knowledge, okay? If you think I don't see you while you're sleeping with the eyes closed, trust me, I see you. Okay? So wake up. Can you see my eyes? My eyes closed? If you can see my eyes closed, I can see your eyes closed too. Verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, and having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He proposed Himself. In Himself. Isn't that great? Okay, second way to fight against the demon's accusation is by the word of our testimony. The word of our testimony overcomes Satan's deception. How? What did God do for you? How often He showed His faithfulness, time after time. His faithfulness is beyond our comprehension. And His mercy renews every morning. How many times do we sin against God? And whenever we ask God's forgiveness, He comes along and forgives us and makes us clean. And whenever we ask God, He cleans us with the blood of the Lamb. And through that blood of the Lamb, we can give a testimony to all the people that He cleans us. As a faithfulness, we can give testimony to others how faithful He is. Third way to fight against the devil's accusation is we should not love our lives to the death. Let me put it this way. let's say the tactical situation. Here's a guy who terrorist holding the hostage against the cops. If somebody's the terrorist holding the gun against the hostage, and I'm gonna if you don't drop your guns, I'm gonna kill this hostage. If the hostage doesn't care about his death and say go for it, then the terrorist really cannot use that person as a shield. Same thing. If the devil is holding us as hostage, he can do that. He can make us, he can accuse us, and he make us feel like we are hostage. But if we don't have this horrible fear about this earthly life and coming to death, then you really don't have fear. Let's look for that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. How can we have no fear about death? As a born-again Christian, let me remind you, if you are truly born again, you should not have a fear for death. Why? Because this is the only hell you will ever taste. When you die, you will go into heaven, which is a much better place. So why is there that you should have a fear for your own death? Verse 15, chapter 15, verse 55, Apostle Paul said this, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me put it this way. Some of you heard this story before. Father and the little daughter was driving and with an open window. And out of blue, this little bee came in. This child is allergic to the bee sting. So she was panicking, and daddy, daddy, the bee. And he's with one swift grabbed the bee. And a little later, he let go of that bee, and she was screaming again. Daddy, the bee again. And daddy said, don't worry. And he showed his hand, his palm, to the child. There's a sting. He already took the sting out, so the bee is no longer harmful to that child. That's what Jesus did. He took our sin onto himself. He was pierced. His wrist was pierced. His hands were pierced. His feet were pierced. His side was pierced. He died for you and me, so we might be able to live forevermore in his kingdom. So we should not have that fear about our death. Death is nothing more than a door, just like that door. When we finish this service, you will walk through that door to go to the picnic, moving from one place to a better place called heaven. So if you're facing death, all of us are facing the death. If the Lord tarries, we all will face that ugly face called death. However, we will go through that death into the glorious eternity. Now let me put it this way. If you don't know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, there's no assurance for you. According to my Bible, according to the Bible on your lap, you don't have that assurance like a born-again Christian would have. Some of you might be thinking that I'm a Christian. I was born in America. I went to the church a few times. I've been baptized. My uncle is a deacon in the church. In God's sight, it doesn't matter. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ or not? That matters. If you don't know him as a Lord and Savior, then you are not born again. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth, the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. That means there's no plan B. There's no other way around. If you don't know him, you don't have that assurance. You don't have that hope. I'll give you the opportunity to come to know him a little later. Let's continue in verse 12, in chapter 12. Therefore rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the seal for the devil has come down to you and having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. Devil is almost like a wounded and cornered animal. He's doing everything to jeopardize a human being's lives. And he's almost like insane. He will do anything. Why is he not giving up? Because he, in my opinion, he deceived himself. He thinks that somehow he can still fight against God and have an opportunity. Verse 13. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, and he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child, but the woman who was given two wings of a great eagle and might fly into the wilderness to her place, and where she is nourished for a time and a time and a half a time from the presence of the serpent. Verse 15, so the serpent spewed water out on the line, water, please, out of his mouth like a flood, on the line word, a flood, after the woman, he might cause her to be carried away like a flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up flood which the dragon has spewed out of his mouth. What are these two wings? The eagles symbolizing America, bald-headed eagles. So some people believe that this is America, since America has been standing side by side with Israel from 1940. So this is American military power using probably C-141 to airlift these people to somewhere safe, like Petra, city of Petra. Or would that be the sixth fleet in the Mediterranean Sea? I don't think so. This is my guess. Zechariah mentioned that this, after the following of the abomination of desolation, these people will flee. The Israeli people will flee to the place called Petra, in a lot of Bible commentators believe. However, 2/3 of Israeli people will be killed during their escape. Only 1/3 will be able to move into the Petra. This Petra is a rather interesting place, and located in the present day of Jordan, and mysterious miracle city, and approximately about 2000 BC it started. Jacob's son Esau and his descendant Edomite found this place. It's a volcanic crater about a mile long, and it's an incredibly secure place. See this area? Some of you guys know this place. You've seen in the movie, where? Raiders of the Lost Ark. Remember Harrison Ford riding the horse through this area? About 12 feet wide here. And some of them is 200 feet up to 1,000 feet deep. It's kind of almost like a hallway of entrance. About 15 soldiers on top of this ridge can defend entire entrance. There's no other way to get to it except this entrance. It's a very secure place. At that time, during this time, Edomite was living there. Up to 1 million people was living there. They developed this city with the sandstone, and they carved the Empire Theater. Could you change the Empire Theater, please? This is the 2,000-seat Empire Theater. Can you believe inside of this volcanic crater, they developed the place where they can sit for up to 2,000 people. And they also had a temple. We just change the slide. Remember this scene from the Raiders of Lost Ark? Another one, I think it's a sequel one. Oh, in the entrance, I don't have that picture, at the entrance of this Petra, they carved a very interesting thing. Two wings of eagle. In my opinion, this is not literally that the Israeli people were carried by the two wings of an eagle, but they went into this place. In 1812, guy, the Bible teacher and explorer and adventurer, Johann Burckhardt, found this Petra, and it was mind-boggling to him. And he also found the two wings of an eagle and at the entrance of the sandstone. Around a number of years ago, W.E. Blackstone, he's another Bible teacher, he was so convinced that Petra is the place for Israeli people will flee, so he bought a bunch of the Hebrew Bible and New Testament. He highlighted chapter 12 of Revelation and chapter 24 of Matthew and put it in the earthen jar and throughout all over the Petra, so when the Israeli people flee into there, and they will find this Hebrew Bible from this location. Can I confirm this theory? No, I cannot. But this, myself, as a Bible student, believe this is the place where the Israeli people will flee. I actually underlined the water and the flood in verse 15 of chapter 12. Throughout the Revelation, you will see the water is known as representing people. So my guess is that this is the Antichrist army that against the Israeli people. However, God used the earthquake supernaturally to destroy these people. And some of you might say, well, what about the smart bomb by all-weather fighter jet? That's great possible, great possibility. However, God who control entire universe can control those fighter jets. He can destroy those fighter jets at no time. Let's continue verse 17. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make the war and with the rest of his offspring who keeps commandment of God and have a testimony of Jesus Christ. Obviously, this is the believers of the Jewish people as well as the Gentile people who believe Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Let's make an application. Number one, condemnation comes from Satan, but the conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. Never forget it, please. Condemnation comes from Satan, but the conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. Condemnation's work is Satan's always, he pushes always away from us, but the conviction makes us draw near to him. Condemnation is always about the self and never measuring up and hopelessness. However, conviction is about forgiveness and moving on and for the glory of God. Romans 8, verse 1 and 2, please. Romans 8, verse 1 and 2. Romans is located in the New Testament, right before 1 Corinthians, right after the book of Acts. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Please put this in your heart. If you don't know this verse, memorize it. Because whenever you get condemned, this Holy Spirit will remind you about this verse. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk well according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Please remember that thing. Second application. We can overcome the Satan and his demons' accusation by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony and not holding on to our earthly lives. If you have a fear, you're a slave of that fear. Don't have a fear about your death, because death is nothing more than the gateway to heaven. Let's stand up and pray.